The scripture reading for today's passage is taken from Joshua chapter 4. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 10, followed by verse 19 all the way to chapter 5, verse 1. Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. When all the nations had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste. Verse 19. The people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal, on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, 'What do these stones mean?' then you shall let your children know, 'Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever.' As soon as all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel, until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. A special shout out to all the teachers in our midst, whether are you a MOE teacher, tuition teacher, CG leader who teaches the Bible, or even our Sunday school teachers. Happy Teachers' Day. May this day that we celebrated last week of Teachers' Day, and especially today as the Sunday school teachers take a break from Sunday school, be an encouragement to all Sunday school teachers. For those of you who do not know, our Sunday school teachers have to tirelessly crack their brains to engage our children on Zoom. And it is an uphill task for them because they have transformed from MPH or classroom now to Zoom. Today's sermon has something to tell us about teaching children. And I hope that the Word of God will encourage you as you continue to teach and serve our children. Before I begin, I thought I can play a simple game with all of us, especially if the children are here, to pique your interest for today's sermon. Okay, can you see the screen? What do you see, what do you think of when you see these stones? Pyramids. Thank you, Josh. Some more children? Luke, what do you think you see when you see these stones? Oh, I cannot hear him. Okay, good, good, good. Safe management, huh? Don't shout too loud. These stones are the pyramids, like what Josh reminds us, right? What else can you think of when you see these stones? Egypt? Anyone knows the purpose of these stones? Okay, they are actually graveyards, okay? Pharaoh himself, okay? And this is located at Egypt. Okay, let me explain. So pyramids are actually the symbols, okay, of might and power of the Pharaoh, which is the king of Egypt in its time. Most of these pyramids were also built as graveyards, okay, tombs for their kings. Okay, this is number one. Okay, how about stone number two? What do you think of when you see these stones? Great Wall of China. Okay, very good. That means, Josh, you have been reading your Seven Wonders very well. Okay? He's my favorite child here. Okay, what else can you think of when you see these stones? It is located in China. Some of you, anyone know which dynasty finished building the Changcheng? Qing Dynasty. I also had to Google it. Don't worry, I don't know all this information also until I was preparing. Likewise, from the pyramid, this Changcheng, Wangli Changcheng, okay, also known as the Great Wall of China, also has a very significant history to its country. Finished in the Qing Dynasty, the Great Wall is actually 5,000 kilometers of wall, and it was built initially to fortify China from the northern tribes that were trying to invade China at that time. Okay, something closer to home now. What do you think of when you see this stone? Okay, now he cannot contain it. He has to shout. Okay, thank you. Merlion, okay. What do you all know what it represents? The head is the head of a? Okay, now Luke is excited too. Yes. Okay, children's Sunday school. Yeah. Okay, head of a lion represents our lion city, right? Which is Singapura, okay? And then how about the fish body? It reminds us of our earlier years as a fishing village. Okay, so we put together, it's a Merlion. Okay, and the Merlion is actually supposed to be a symbol, okay, of our humble origins and our roots. Okay, to remember our roots. Okay, children, finish it here. So you can be, don't be so excited. In fact, the pyramid and the Great Wall, or even the Merlion, are all tourist attractions. And these stones draw people from all around the world as they visit the country. These famous stones are still there today as they serve as a symbol to teach the next generation, remember their history, and these stones stand there and they draw people to them from all around the world. Similarly, today's passage, we read about 12 stones that were set up by Jordan as God had successfully delivered Israel across the raging waters of River Jordan. Last week, Reverend Srimal reminded us that though it is God who stopped the raging waters by himself, he did it by entering the water himself. As the priest hoist the Ark of the Covenant, Reverend Srimal reminded us that we too have our human responsibility to actually take courage to cross the River Jordan. So which brings us to our passage today. We read in chapter 4 that the Lord instructed Jordan to set up 12 stones to serve as memorial stones for this mighty thing that the Lord has done. Today we will examine the passage and understand the purpose of these stones and how these stones can serve the function of teaching, remembering, and testifying of the power and providence of God. Before I begin, let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for giving us something so solid, so concrete, that we can remember of your great works. Often we forget because we are busy with our lives. Often we forget because we do not trust you. We pray that, Lord, your word will have something for all of us, Sunday school teachers, children, adults, all of us. We pray that these stones will remind us of what you want us to do and what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The very first reason we are told that these stones were set up is stated in verses 6 and 7. It says that it may be a sign so that when the children asks, "What do these stones mean to you?" the adults are to explain and tell of the stories of how God brought the Israelites across the Jordan. The crossing of the Jordan represented the end of their exile. Okay, the word exile means they were stranded, okay, for those children who do not know, and the beginning of their new conquest of the Promised Land. Each time a child asked about the stone, it was a teaching moment for them as the story of how the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. These stones were set up so that the children might learn about the Lord. The Hebrew word for the word teach in the Old Testament, there's many of them, but this particular one, means much more than just imparting facts. Teaching is actually the ability to cause one to know or cause one to learn. So for example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, we read that the Levites who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord. The Levites did more than just describe the events of salvation history. The Levites caused the Israelites to know about God's holiness by themselves being holy. Or for example, in Ezra, in Nehemiah chapter 8, where Ezra opened God's word before the Israelites, he caused them to understand and perceive the word. So when the Hebrews use the word teach, they do not just mean a class or sitting in a lecture. The role of the teacher is not to just read off a script, but rather to cause their students to know. Yes, God indeed stopped the waters of Jordan so that the entire Israelite community can pass over. But it was the duty of the Israelites to teach this to their children. They are to cause their children to know. And one such teaching tool are these memorial stones. Just like any of our modern day teacher who uses PowerPoint slides or maybe a big piece of mahjong paper so that you can draw and doodle on, teachers were to cause their children to know this very important event. But not just know about the details, but more importantly, to learn about the mighty works of God so that it gives them courage to put their faith in this God. So if you are a CG leader, Sunday school teacher, or hold any role of teaching God, remember that our role is not just to impart information. Neither is it to make Bible study more fun and exciting with games. These things aren't wrong and they aren't bad. But like the teaching stones, our role, just like every other Israelite, is to inspire faith. Faith that will cause one to learn about our lives and our faith when we teach about this great and loving God. Faith that permeates in our Sunday school activities. Faith that can be seen in our lives, our stories, our lessons. Our role is to cause our students to know of our great God as he faithfully did what he did. Menon Simmons, a Dutch priest from the Reformation period, in his commentary on Joshua says this: "There is a need to teach the children from youth and to acquaint them with all the blessings and miracles of the Lord, which has been bestowed on them and their fathers so that they might fear him, love and serve the Lord all their days. Therefore, let us not neglect it, but lay it well to heart that we teach our children rightly in the word and instruct them in relation to his righteous judgments so that they will learn to fear the Lord with all their heart and turn from evil." But of course, this passage or this lesson that we are learning to get today doesn't just apply to Sunday school teachers, but it applies to all parents as well. Parents, you too have a very important role in building the faith of your children. And when I say parents, I don't just mean parents with young children. This is especially needful for families with children who are teenagers or even adults. Because the role of imparting the faith does not solely lie on the Sunday school teacher, CG leader, or even the pastor, you have a part to play to cause your child to know of this God. Recently, my family started reading this book by Ajay Fernando titled The Family Life of a Christian Leader. In the very first chapter, Pastor Ajay Fernando recognized that it is very unnatural for us to be godly at home. Whether is it praying with the children or for the children, or is it sacrificing that favorite TV program to do ministry, or even that soccer match that we've waited for so long. Our children need to see that our faith matters, especially at home. When I was reading and preparing this sermon, this served as a very sober reminder for me. As I was preparing this, as I was feeding Noah, I was also watching my favorite Netflix show. And I had to remind myself that Noah needs to see Jingxi and I spend time with God. She needs to see us praying. She needs to see us doing our devotion together. And in so doing, she too can know that our faith in our God matters. That when she sees us practicing our faith, we teach Noah that our faith is important. One thing that stood out to me when I was reading this passage and I was preparing was the important role children played in the command. Joshua told the Israelites that these stones will be a sign that when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? They were supposed to recount the story of God bringing them over the Jordan. There are a few things to note from this simple detail. First, the children are the ones who initiate the learning. This is a common practice among the Hebrews, as they allow children to play important roles on important occasion. So for example, their very famous Passover is one that begins when the child initiates the question, how is this night different from any other night? And because of the child, the festival begins. So traditionally, over here, it is not surprising that children are the ones who initiate this conversation about the stones. So number one, the first thing you learn is children initiates the questioning. Number two, did you notice that the question is not about soliciting information, nor is it about facts about that they were supposed to inquire about? If not, the question would have been, what happened here? Or how did God help us? The question that the children were supposed to ask is, what do these stones mean to you? You cannot brush this question aside by just telling the children facts about that day. The child is expectant to hear a personal testimony about the events of that day and what it meant to you personally. Your thoughts, your feelings, your struggles, and whether or not it was easy or challenging to follow the Lord. What it meant for you when your feet were dry and when you crossed the River Jordan. You can almost imagine the child's eyes watered and hopeful to hear from you as they get awestruck and awestruck by the wonders of that day. How the Lord halted the waters so that his beloved people might enter the promised land. But more importantly, the child gets to hear from you and what it means to you personally. Similarly, our children today deserve nothing less. They don't need another lesson on the Bible and facts, or even skits to help them envisage the biblical stories. Yes, these things can help, but our children need to hear what these stones mean to you. They long to hear the stories about God changing our lives, how the Lord rescued us from our sorrows and our difficulties. They need to hear what receiving Jesus in your life means to you. The faith of your children will be weak if they have never been told how great God is and how real His work is in your life. So this is for the parents. But for all the children, especially those of you who are here, all you children, you are precious in God's sight. And if you are listening to the sermon still, know that you have a very important role to play. You have a very important role to play in the Christian faith. You are to ask questions. You are to be as curious and inquisitive as you already are, and keep asking the adults or your daddy and mommy about their God. In fact, I have a task for you, a homework after church service. So don't ask your parents now, ask them later. I want you to ask your daddy and mommy or your favorite uncle and auntie in this church after the church service about how the Lord rescued them. Ask them about how they became a Christian and ask them, what does Jesus mean to you? Okay, children, go back, ask the questions. Okay, sometimes it's actually a bit hard for our daddy and mommy to bring up the topic. So, can you help us by being the one to start the conversation? And parents, just in case your kid missed the question, I have attached the question in today's bulletin. So parents, you can let your kid refer to the question and have this spiritual conversation with your loved ones. Keep recounting the goodness and greatness of our God to your children. Share your faith with them. Cause them to know. My next point, which is memorial stones. My next point in the sermon is another function of what these stones can mean. Not only were they set up for teaching the next generation, it was also very crucial that these stones were etched into the memory banks of each and every individual Israelite. Verse 7 tells us that when the Ark of the Covenant passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. These stones were important for Israel to remember that the same Lord who has brought them through will continue seeing them through. This was especially important as Israel will be setting up these stones at Gilgal, the other side of the Jordan. In fact, Gilgal will soon become their base camp in which they will go to and fro from their various conquests that they were going to make. So each time the Israelites return or they go out of Gilgal, they'll be reminded of this powerful God that held the waters of Jordan for them. This is a very important detail that we have to keep in mind. The memorial stones were set up in Gilgal, served as a hub for the conquest. Which means when they set out for the conquest to acquire the new land, they'll be reminded that the powerful Lord who brought them out of the Jordan is the one that will continue to bring them through. So this will give them encouragement because they know that they have this Lord on their side. But the same stones will serve a very different function when they come back from the conquest. Because when they come back, they'll be reminded again that it is not by their own effort that they have captured the land, but it was the water-stopping God that aided them in the conquest. Seeing these stones in their coming in and their going out constantly carved into their memory that God fights for Israel, which is what Israel means in Hebrew, our God who fights. This common memory that is shared amongst all of Israel will soon shape their identity. It will be what Israel will be unique for, it will be what they're distinctive for, it will in fact become their trademark, that they will be known as a nation who has a God who fights for them, Israel. Knowledge of the past shapes identity. Without memory, one loses their identity. Just like somebody who suffers from amnesia. People who suffer from amnesia cannot remember events from the past, and soon they start to question who they are.
A loss of memory means a loss of identity. This concrete way of seeing and remembering serves as a stones. These stones serve to prevent Israel from losing their identity. It's probably the same reason why China has not removed their Wanli Changzhen or Egypt their pyramids, as they serve to remind the country of that significant moment in history and thus giving them their distinctive identity. This is also very crucial for us today as Christians, as many Christians face spiritual amnesia as they have forgotten about how their Lord had saved them. And sadly, they lose their identity of being Christian as well. It is not that they've forgotten Jesus died on the cross. In fact, if you ask some of these people, they probably can even tell you that Jesus resurrected from the grave. But what is missing in these Christians who have lost their identity is they are missing their frequent visiting to Gilgal. Remember I said earlier on that the coming in and going out will remind Israel that their victories and all that they had today was only possible because of God, and how they were distinctively known as that. But for us today as Christians, many stop coming to church because they are either busy with work, contented with their new life or partner, which they know is incompatible with their Christian faith. It's like Israel got so busy with the promised land that they forgot to return to Gilgal and soon forgot about what God has done, and that it is God who even gave them this land in the first place. So is it with our Christians today who enjoy the goodness and blessings of life and have forgotten that it is the good Lord who provided all these for them. I think based on my observation, this is especially true when a Christian finds a partner, or even when they get married or have children. For some, it will be their career, lifestyle choices that hinder them from going back to God. They lose their identity as Christians because they have forgotten about the love and grace that they have experienced with their Lord Jesus Christ. And if you feel that this is you, or if you're at home listening right now, that your faith is shaky, I want to encourage you to remember how the Lord has saved you. Recall that exact moment in which you gave your life to Christ. Now remember the moment where the love of Christ fills your heart so overwhelming, so overflowing, that you were just glad and thankful that God saved a sinner like you. Now come back. Come back to the Lord. Come back to Gilgal and come to the place that will remind you of what the Lord has done. Be in the company of fellow Christians. Come and share in the common memory of what our Lord has done. And may Christ's love fill and shape you. In my final point of what these stones mean, I believe these stones are there to testify to God's saving power to the rest of the world. For the third time, the text tells us that Israel encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the people of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. So that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you fear the Lord your God forever." Did you catch the last part? So that all the people of the Lord of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that they will fear the Lord God forever. The purpose of these stones are not only to serve as teaching stones to the next generation of Israelites, nor is it for self-admiration as they remember the Lord in and out of their conquests. These stones are intended to cause all people of the earth to know him, so that they might fear him too. In fact, if you continue reading in the next chapter, in chapter 5, verse 1, we are told, as soon as the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to the west, and all the kings of Canaan who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan for the people of Israel until they had crossed over, their hearts melted, and there was no longer any spirit in them because of the people of Israel. News about God's mighty hand traveled far and wide, and you can be sure that the kings of Amorites and Canaan would know that the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal, where the stones were laid. And notice how the same stones would provide so much comfort if you were Israelite, but cause so much fear if you were not an Israelite. Though God would soon deliver Israel to the promised land by removing its current inhabitants, the Lord still desires that all people of the earth will know him. Why he wants Israel to remember the events of God saving Israel is because God desires of himself to be known. This love and might is not restrained to just Israel and for their own benefit. God wants to be made known to the rest of the world. And that one event that God showed us his love of salvation culminates for us as Christians on the cross, when he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on that gruesome cross so that all men can come to God our Father. Jesus was God's greatest testimony of his love for all of us. And if you have the Son, you have eternal life, and you can be with God eternally. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 says, as you come to him, the living stone, which is Jesus, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, our living stone, we now join him in being living stones to testify to the world of our great God. Yes, Jesus has come and he lived and died so that we need not die but live. But how are we to testify to others about this great love of God when we ourselves have forgotten about him? And how are we to remember if no one causes us to know by teaching us the love and greatness of God? So what we have learned today from the stones, number one, that the stones were meant to teach the next generation about God, and that the children play a very important role in the faith community as they ask questions about the faith. Number two, the stones were set up at Gilgal and would soon shape the memory and identity of the Israelites as they came in and out of their conquests. And number three, the stones were not just exclusively for the Israelites, but meant to testify of God's power and greatness to all peoples of the earth. Might I encourage you to start remembering all that the Lord has done? And one way that you can consider after today's sermon is by writing it down on a journal. As I was preparing for this sermon, I took some time to reread some of my old entries in my journal. And boy, have I realized that God has saved me from really, really hot soup. Without these journals, I would have long forgotten these important events in my life. Writing them down has helped me concretize and make me firm like the stones of Gilgal. Journaling helps me to process my thoughts and reflect as I am more aware of the Lord's work. Just last week, I was talking to some of the Christians from our church, and I asked them how do they do their reflection and meditation. Some of them said that they would just think about it in their minds, or they would pray about it. Some of these thoughts come when they are on their walks, or some of them when they are listening to music. But when I asked them again 2 weeks, like maybe this week or the next, has God answered your prayer, or what have you learned? They've already forgotten what the Lord has showed them 2 weeks ago. So in view of today's sermon, might I encourage you to pick up the spiritual discipline of journaling once again. I find this spiritual exercise very important for us to remember the Lord in our lives. But don't just stop there. After recounting all that the Lord has done in your life, share it. Share it with your children. Share it with your family. Allow our conversations to be filled with the salvation stories of what God has done in our lives. And don't stop at just the Christians among you. Share this also with your colleagues, your classmates, your project group workmates about the Lord. Tell them how mighty your God is. The Lord desires to be known by your friends, colleagues, and classmates. So let us remember our Lord and what He has done. Recount all of the mighty deeds. And I want to encourage you to tell those people around you too. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come before you and we hear your word for us this morning. Through the stones you've commanded Joshua to set up, we learn that we are called to teach, remember, and testify. But Lord, we are such forgetful people, and our failure to recount your works in our lives have weakened the faith of our children. But you knew that. You knew that your people tend to forget. That's why you commanded Joshua to set up the stones. Similarly, help us, Lord, to mark down in our journals as we pen down our reflections of what you have done this week. May our remembering cause the faith of our children to rise, and may our recounting cause people around us to know of who you are. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.